Your host, Ben Korn, and Chris Walter. And now, it's time for Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
You know what I like about college pitchers? I keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
Oh.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, welcome back, friends and foes. You are the reason why we do this each and every day. I am Ben Korn. That is Chris Welter.
Howdy.
Hello, Chris. How is your day?
Day's going good. It's always tough getting off the long weekend here, back to work.
So we're recording this podcast on July 6th, which means that the 4th of July was this past weekend.
Yes!
And should we go into what you did on the 4th of July, Chris? It sounded really exciting.
You know, the average American day. A lot of beer, a lot of sun, a lot of games, and some fireworks.
What do you think about putting an American flag outside your house?
I'm not a big fan.
You're not a flag person.
No, I don't want ISIS to know where I live.
That's a good point. Here's my thoughts on American flags. So I'm all about America.
Okay.
You know, I supported the women's soccer team.
Yeah, sure. That was a great game. Yeah.
So congratulations, women's soccer. I want America to win. But do I really need to put a flag and become an American?
Yeah.
I just want to be an American. I want to support my team. I don't need necessarily, but as you may have seen in the
document, I've
got a flag.
Confused where you're going.
I've got
a massive American flag.
I have a massive flag. Thank you,
Real
Don.
To the point where you can see it from your couch. Like, you have to stare at it all the time.
Yeah. So if you guys want to find out where this podcast is being recorded, it is happening where the American flag is hanging out outside.
Well, that's good to know. It's funny that brings back a BuzzFeed article I read not too long ago. That it was all about why Europeans and what they don't understand about Americans. The top thing was why we're so patriotic and love our flag so much.
Yeah.
And another one that caught me off guard is why we always have in the bathroom stalls, why there's always cracks in the door so that you can basically see through it.
That is a weird thing.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't happen.
Do they not
in Europe.
Do that in Europe?
No, I guess they know how to have privacy when people poop in Europe.
I mean, we like to be able to talk to each other through the, walls.
No, we don't, though.
I mean, when I sit down, I'm always like, hey, you over there. How's it coming out? And then you always hear the...
See, I always know.
And you know that's it. That's all you can have a conversation about.
So it sounds like a beluga whale shooting air or water into the air.
It's brutal. Okay.
No, see, I always know when there's in the door. I generally try to wait till people get the hell out of the bathroom before I go.
Hmm.
I struggle to poop in airports. It's too busy.
Yeah, sounds like you've got an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I get backed up, basically. Yeah,
I get backed up, too, but whenever I need to go, I go. Speaking of going.
Yeah, where do you want to go?
Want to pick up some Yordano Ventura. The guy's coming back this week.
Thank you. All right.
Hello.
Hey, I want to thank the people on Twitter. Your pressure. You peer pressured Ben into following what he said, following his word, and he picked up Yordano Ventura.
Yeah, so
he's coming back, of course.
Here we go, Yordano, Thursday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Either one is
I'll live up to what people request of me. This is going to be an interesting week. Last week, a bunch of new young pitchers, a lot of kids coming off the 60-day DL.
Yeah.
Are back, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Now, we'll talk about a lot of guys going down. Miggy Cabrera's going down.
That's right.
Josh Harrison going down. We'll get to all that stuff in the news. A big bring-up will give us our deep dive to tell you if you should be picking up this kid off the Minnesota Twins.
Mm-hmm.
So you may know who we're talking about if you're keeping up with baseball. If you're not keeping up with baseball, you're listening to the right show because we break it down for you.
Oh, hard tease. You're reeling him in with the line.
I mean, sometimes you got to reel. We'll talk about Mike Montgomery. Is this guy for real?
The tracking Ben this week looks real good.
That's what I'm saying. And we're not even going to count one of his starts. That shows how good Montgomery has been. So I don't know. I think that's enough teasing, right?
Yeah. Bizarre. We talked too much about our lives already.
All right. We'll dive further into our lives as we go along this podcast as well. For Chris Welter, I'm Ben Korn. Let's get to the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
Here we go with the news. Ben demanded that I start this time.
Hey!
The Pirates are...
Placed Josh Harrison on the 15-day DL with a left thumb injury. And coincidentally, Starling Marte left last night with pain in his side. The Pirates could be hurting.
Or are they calling on my boy Neil Walker to save the day?
He might be my tracking Chris.
Oh, shoot. All right, Neil. Let me just tell you, from a Neil Walker fan for life.
What are we doing here? Let's keep right, rolling with the news.
Here we go.
Neil Walker's not even in the news.
The Braves
traded Aaron Kurtz to the Athletics for future consideration.
Okay, now I can see why you didn't want to get to the next news.
That was kind of a boring, yeah. But I mean, it's important to know what's going on with these trades. Because what if those considerations are Miguel Sanu?
It's not.
The Brewers.
They placed Matt Garza on the 15-day DL with right shoulder tendonitis.
The Texas Rangers.
Delino DeShields is back to help make room Joey Gallo and his 44% K rate. That's pretty good.
That's terrible.
Okay. We're sent back to the minors. In other news, Matt Harrison is back from the 60-day DL. He will start on Wednesday, bumping Chichi Gonzalez out of the lineup. Matt Harrison, a start for Wednesday on the fantasy side?
Not for me, no.
And how long is Matt Harrison going to last? I believe he's come back and then gone to the DL.
He hasn't pitched in the majors in 2 years, so we'll see. It's be skeptical. That's all you can say.
But I would say watch and wait.
Okay.
The Nationals.
Striking blow to the Steven Strasburg owners as he went back on the 15-day DL with a left oblique strain. This sucks because he looked really good when he came back from the DL recently.
The Phillies
traded future considerations of right-handed pitcher Chris Oliver and left-handed pitcher Josh Taylor to Arizona for future considerations.
So they traded future considerations for future considerations?
Doesn't make no sense. What? Much like that sentence.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
They placed Jaime Garcia on the 15-day DL with a left groin strain.
The Cubbies
activated Jorge Soler from the 15-day DL. Hopefully he shows up. He's not one of those young kids that I've been very impressed with so far this year.
No, but he was many experts' rookie of the year pick this year. So,
but will he still
high
be?
Expectations. Doesn't seem like it.
The Astros.
They activated Jake Marisnyk from the 15-day DL. And unfortunately, at the same time, placed George Springer on the 15-day DL with a right wrist fracture. That is more likely 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, that's sad.
The Marlin Wayans.
Michael Morse is back. Because Marcelo Zuna got sent to AAA. This is a guy who has 50 career home runs in the majors already, and now he's back in the minors.
Sucker.
But Michael Morse will get another chance here with the Marlins. Also, Jose Fernandez is back. He got a win, got a quality start, 6 Ks in his debut.
If we were to say one of the most overrated players in Major League Baseball, would Mike Morse make that list?
No, I rate him very poorly.
As in overrated?
No, low. Low rated.
You think he's rated?
He's not
overrated. He's underrated.
I mean, everybody's rated. Future considerations are rated for something. So okay. Everything's rated.
So would you trade Michael Morris for future consideration?
Yes, definitely.
My point made.
The Orioles.
Jonathan Schoop is back from the 60-day DL. I'm actually a big fan of Jonathan Schoop. I think this is an immediate add in all leagues.
Wow, that's aggressive. He does have a home run so far.
The Twins.
They activated Irving Santana from the DL. And even though I suggested Rick Agler not pick him up, he did. And Irving got 8 Ks and a quality start in his first game back.
Yeah, Rick got lucky because I actually tried to pick him up and ran out of moves last
week.
So, Rick, if you're listening, you're welcome for that one.
Also, top prospect Miguel Sano was called up and already has a 4-game hit streak. He is a major power source, but we'll get into him later in the show.
Would that be in the deep dive?
Yeah, sure.
The Tigers.
Miguel Cabrera sent to the 15-day DL. That said, Jeffrey Marte has been brought up to replace him, but not really to replace him, as it will be Alex Avila, who also got activated from the DL, and will be playing first base in Miggy's place. Alex Avila, good DFS guy?
Yeah, as a catcher, but I'm actually more excited about James McCann, who will catch regularly now for Detroit. I like him a little bit better.
The Diamondbacks.
Patrick Corbin is back from Tommy John. He went 5 innings, got the win, and 3 Ks in his season debut.
Picked him up last week. You!
The Red Sox.
Blake Swihart sent to the 15-day DL with a sprained left foot. To the rescue, it's Ryan Hannigan as he was activated from the 60-day DL to help out at the catcher position.
I also heard Blake has been struggling with this for about 2 weeks, so that could explain some poor numbers.
The Giants.
Matt Cain, another pitcher, activated from the 60-day DL. He went 5 innings and got 2 Ks in his return.
I picked him up even though you told me not to.
How much space do you have on your team? Are you picking up everyone on this list?
You just got to pick people up. This is a day and time to start picking people up. You got to get people ready for the playoffs. And Matt Cain is going to get me ready for the playoffs.
Okay.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Matt Moore, another big dog, activated from the 60-day DL. Didn't have a very good outing. 4.2 innings got blown up. But I expect better outings in the future for Matty. I guess that's it.
That's it. That's the news.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Class, settle down. Don't make me turn off the lights. All right. Today, we'll be talking about swinging strike percentage. I know we got into a little bit last week with Erasmo Ramirez, and Ben brought the great idea that we should dive a little deeper, and it's been a while since we went to the classroom, so.
I love the classroom.
There you go. We got the big kid in the back seems excited. All right.
My name's Robert.
All right, Robert, settle down. So in general, the swinging strike percentage is part of the plate discipline results of pitchers. All right, some of the other stats that are part of this is zone percentage. That's the percentage of pitchers the pitcher gets into the strike zone. Contact percentage, that's the percentage of pitchers that the batter makes contact with. Then you can dive a little deeper. The O contact is the percentage of pitches that a batter makes contact with outside of the strike zone compared to Z contact, which is the percentage of pitches that a batter makes contact inside the strike zone. I know that's a lot. But we're getting to the real good stuff, which is the swinging strike percentage, which is the stat that dives in a little bit deeper into this plate discipline. It is the percentage of pitches that a pitcher pitches that are swung on and missed by the batter. So basically, you're trying to find on how nasty is that pitch. Because if you're making a batter swing and miss at it, he is fooled, he's screwed up, he's not making any contact. That means it is a nasty pitch, and it can be an indicator that a pitcher is really learning to use his off-speed stuff. Now, okay, I know that was a lot. Do we have any questions, class? Do you have any questions?
Wake over up. Here, over here!
Oh, okay, yeah, the small hairy kid in the back there, yep.
Hello, sorry I forgot to turn off my phone. It went off earlier.
I'll break it later, don't worry.
Okay, who are the best swinging strike pitchers in baseball?
Great question. I didn't expect such a good question from such a hairy kid.
It's my father's fault.
Okay, take it down a notch. You asked a question, you're good.
Okay.
In general, the swinging strike best pitchers are all the best pitchers in baseball. You have Chris Sale, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer. They are at the top of the list this year. And if you looked at the top 20, it would basically be the top 20 pitchers, with a few exceptions that we'll get into a little bit later. Oh, yep, we have a very exciting...
Hello!
An older gentleman.
This is Robert from the back.
Didn't expect Robert. I thought I told you to shut up, but all right.
I'm a teacher. Chris, thank you so much for coming to the class. We really have a lot that we want to talk about.
Well, it's my class, so thank you for coming. What's your question, Robert? You're getting
is a good and great swinging strike percentage?
Got you. Okay, yeah, that's a good question. So, yeah. If you're looking at the swing and strike percentage, how do you know what's good? In general, 10% is a little above average. You should be happy with 10%. When you start hitting the 14%, that's elite. Only about 5, 6, 7 pitchers have a 14% swinging strike rate.
Chris, can you go into, in the last 30 days, some off-the-radar guys that have a good swing strike percentage?
Sure. Is that Robert again?
That's Robert, still here with the microphone.
Robert, are you having a slight hernia, I think?
I'm okay!
We might need to get you out of here and get checked out. All right, anyway. Yeah, so this is a good indicator if you want to maybe find a pitcher that maybe found something new in his repertoire. He changed something, and he's really starting to figure something out. So some guys that you should keep an eye on, because the last 30 days, their swinging strike rate has really jumped up into borderline elite area, The best on that list is Alfredo Simon, even though he's freaking 35, 36. He's very old, but he is really making batters miss right now, and his performance kind of indicates that. The next one is probably more interesting. Taiwan Walker is up to 12.5% swinging strike rate in the last 30 days, and he has been dominant for the past couple months, really. So if he's available in any league, go get him. Noah Syndergaard is also at 12.5%. He's been a little more erratic than Taiwan Walker, but that's certainly a good sign that Syndergaard is really making guys miss. And one a little bit deeper, but I found interesting because we're waiting for him to figure it out. Matt Latos, since he returned from injury, is up to 11.4% swinging strike rate. And he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on because he's going to be available in maybe 50% of leagues right now.
Hey, Chris, Ben from the podcast Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Oh, Ben, yeah.
I think we've talked a few times.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of your podcast.
Okay. Are there any guys to keep an eye on based on their swing strike percentage for the season? I know we just talked about the 30 days, but like myself, I've owned Ruby De La Rosa, and I believe he's pretty good at swing strike.
Oh, you did a little studying before this class, Ben.
That's why I do a podcast.
Well, good for you. Yes. Actually, Ruby De La Rosa is very interesting because he has the 12th best swinging strike rate this year, which means his stuff is nasty. He just needs to learn to get better control, basically. He needs to stop walking guys. So, yeah, keep an eye on Ruby. I don't know that he's an immediate add or anything, but if he has two or three really good performances, you can go get him. Another guy is Erasmo Ramirez. Obviously, we talked about him last week. He, again, I think he had another six innings of shutout baseball this past week. So I really like Erasmo Ramirez. A couple of the guys that are in the top 30 this season that aren't particularly performing too well, Jeremy Hellickson, Jimmy Nelson, and Edinson Volquez as well has a very good swing strike rate this year.
Thank you, Chris. You really are a genius.
Well, great. Well, thank you, class. I'm glad you all sat through. Ben, put your pants back on. This isn't that type of party.
Okay, I thought
all right,
we were done.
This class is over.
Get out your trunks. We're going swimming. The deep dive on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
A top 10 baseball prospect and power to match Chris Bryant and Joey Gallo, Miguel Sano snuck under most people's radars this season because of off-season Tommy John surgery. His struggles in April scared a lot of owners, but since May 1st, he has done nothing but rake. A classic three-outcome player, home run, walk, and strikeout, he has shown great improvements from previous seasons. This season, he has lowered his walk rate 7 points down to 23% while maintaining his 13% walk rate. Don't let his early season struggles scare you away. He may never hit 300, but a 275 hitter with 35 home run potential and eligible at third base and shortstop in Yahoo Fantasy Leagues, Miguel Sano just might win you that title this season.
Hey guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Welcome back to Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Ben Korn, Chris Welter. This is episode number 19, and we are recording this episode on July 6th, 2015. Thank you so much for joining us. We now kind of take a look at some of the young pitchers that have been showcasing themselves this year. I mean, this has been the year of the youth. We've seen the young batters. We've talked about the Miguel Sanos. We've talked about all the young guys that, you know, Javier Baez was the guy I was thinking about earlier that didn't make the actual podcast.
Right.
But anywho, that's an inside joke that you won't find out about. But so now it's time for the pitchers.
Sure.
Do you feel ready, Chris, to let people know if this is a flash in the pan, if you like this guy, or what the deal is with these young kids?
Yeah, it's hard to know with pitching, but we got a lot of names here. Let's rip through them.
Okay, fine. All right. All right. Whoa. Settle down.
I'm just talking fast because I'm excited.
Let's start with Kevin Gausman. You know, this guy, I've liked him for a long time. A 7-inning pitch shutout ball in his first appearance coming off the DL. Jose Fernandez, a quality start. Some say he looked too amped up, but that's just how Jose Fernandez looks. Jose Fernandez was the best pitcher on baseball for the first like 2 months last year, so I've been a huge Jose Fernandez fan. I'll tell you that much right now, but we'll get to this discussion in a minute. And then Manny Benuelos.
a man I'm not even sure I know who is. And I consider myself a pretty knowledgeable guy. So, Chris, of those three guys, who are you most intrigued about?
Sure. I mean, look, it's obviously Jose Fernandez, but he's probably not available in your league. You know, it just seemed like we should mention that he came back, and he could be a stud.
Yeah, most people held on to him.
Yeah. No, he was drafted in the top 150 of most leagues. So, yeah, if you've held on to him, you didn't give him up, you know. But again, guys coming off of Tommy John, like, even look at Matt Harvey. He's not the dominant guy he was. He's just really good. So definitely temper expectations with Jose Fernandez. But so of that list, aside from Jose, I have to say I'm most excited about Kevin Gausman. He is a guy, he's been in the league for a couple of years, and he really should have been in the starting rotation from the jump for the Orioles, but they were just a little bit too loaded with guys that they pay more money. Frankly, Kevin Gausman had options that they could send him down to the minors, so I think that's what happened. But he was another guy that was in the top 30, top 40 of starting pitchers being drafted this year. So, and then he came out and did 7-inning shutout baseball for the first appearance. So, yeah, I would be looking to get and then hold on to Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, he's an interesting character. I think he's on the verge of being sent back down to the minors again. He just hasn't shown the consistency that we hope that he has.
That's crazy. The Orioles must hate. He must be pissing somebody off. He's pooping in somebody's shoes.
Let's keep in mind, Buck Showalter sent Wei and Chen back to the minors.
Right.
So
that's right.
They
sent their ace to the minors.
He likes to send all the good players to the minors just so that he can. I don't know what his point is, but yeah, Kevin Gausman, I've liked him. I think he has a lot of talent. Everything that I hear says that this guy is going to be something special. I don't know if it's going to be this year, though. I'll be honest with you. So Chris thinks it is. I think it's not. We'll see.
We will.
We will definitely see.
Whoa.
All right, sorry. Chris Medlin. We got into a battle about Chris Medlin 2 weeks ago. He had 6-inning pitch shutout ball in his latest AAA start. Granted, that's not the majors, but Chris Medlin could be somebody very interesting coming up. Ivan Nova has done well since his return to the Yankees, and Matt Wisler, a real young kid for the Braves, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, again, I'm going back to my boy Chris Medlin. Granted, it's his second Tommy John surgery. We don't have a lot of examples for that, whether it's more successful, less successful, so it's tough to say. But he of this list that you just read is by far the most accredited to his career. He's done the most. He's been a top 20 pitcher before. So again, Chris Medlin, I might grab and hold on just to see how he does in his first few starts.
Matt Wisler.
This week's fantasy game of the week is a matchup between the best team in baseball against one of the best pitchers
2-1
in baseball. Chris Sale and the Chicago White Sox tried their hand against the 50-game winning St. Louis Cardinals at Busch Stadium.
After he got blown up by the Nationals the previous outing, 7 straight games, 9 hits, 4 runs.
He has 6 quality starts, but only 3-3 in
the Atlanta Braves.
He matches up against Atlanta and Freddie Freeman on the DL on Sunday with a shutout performance in 6 innings. And notches the quality
start. The wins are going to be few and far between.
This shall be one
low
for the
ceiling
ages
as well.
Tuesday,
he's never
June
been a strikeout guy, even in the minors. He's
Stadium.
More of a 7K per 9
fantasy
type of player.
Game
so.
Yeah, right now, 19 innings and 8 Ks.
Yeah, so that's about what you can expect from Whistler.
So personally, I'm not much of a strikeout every 2 innings guy, but if you're not worried about strikeouts, if you don't want strikeouts or wins, he might be a guy
sure,
for you.
There you go. Sounds good.
Ivan Nova's done really well, 17 innings, 9K, so similar strikeout numbers. He's got a win, a quality start. All those guys are doing very well. Moving on to the next three. Andrew Heaney, Matt Cain, and Taylor Youngman.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel like I know which direction you're going to go here.
Taylor Youngman?
No, I thought you were going to say Matt Cain, actually. No, I'd pick Andrew Heaney there. Just he has the most upside.
And Matt Cain's not a young boy anymore.
But he is a guy that just came back. I don't know how he got in there.
The title of this segment is Young and Sexy Pitchers.
And he's not sexy either. Have you seen him recently?
No, he's not sexy at all.
That's why I went Taylor Youngman, because Matt Cain doesn't fit on that list. I actually snuck him on there just to throw you off, bro.
Oh.
You're welcome.
So you like Youngman because he's Hungman.
I got Matt Cain in there.
Is that Robert that just came back?
Robert had a hernia and has been rushed to the hospital, for sure.
I like Taylor Youngman. I was intrigued by Andrew Heaney. This week, he's not very intriguing because he's going against the Colorado Rockies. But Taylor Youngman has actually performed quite well going up against some of the big aces and on other teams. So he's a guy that I would definitely look into, even though he's with the Brewers. Tyler Carnes or Matt Moore?
Wow, yeah, that's tough. Matt Moore definitely has more upside, but his professional career has been rocky at best, whereas Nathan Carnes is secretly kind of killing it this year. He's, you know, almost got 100 strikeouts here. Now, granted, it's unfortunate that he plays for Tampa Bay because it's a bad offense, no win potential, and you're in the AL East where they're just going to crush you because they have the best lineups in the league. But I'd go Nathan Carnes there as a little flyer.
You know, I would like to agree with you, but I like the other Tampa Bay pitcher. I just think Matt Moore's got a sexy name, and I think he fits better into the young and sexy.
Oh, I do agree. Matt Moore is much more attractive.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts. That's Chris's thoughts. But moral of the story is there's a lot of kids that are on the waivers that you can pick up, and I picked up two of them today.
Sure. A lot of hot young dudes. You're just picking up dudes left and right.
It's my thing.
It's the Fantasy Game of the Week.
This week's Fantasy Game of the Week is the LA Angels at Seattle Mariners. This is a matchup of unknown pitchers finding their groove. The Mariners start Mike Montgomery, who has allowed one run in his last 23 innings, and it was a solo home run last week in a win over Oakland. Previously, he had two straight complete game victories. His strikeouts are on the decline, so maybe this is the game it all catches up to him. Hector Santiago will be starting for the Angels. We've been waiting for him to struggle, but it just hasn't happened. He has allowed 8 hits in his last 20 innings and not allowing more than 3 runs in his last 6 games. He has been consistent, which is a surprise for the Santiago owners. Throw in Trout, Pujols, Cruz, and a pitcher's park in Safeco Field, and you have yourself a nice mixed bag of goodness. Angels, Mariners is this week's Fantasy Game of the Week.
Hey, it's Chris Welter. Don't tell Ben, but I took over Fantasy Baseball Weekly online. For the latest news and streaming pitchers, hit us up on Twitter at FantasyBBWeekly. Now, let's get back to the show.
Oh!
Yeah.
How are you, Chris Welter?
Luckily, it didn't smell, so I'm doing pretty good.
So here we are in the Tracking Chris segment. I think you did well, Chris.
Ben, before we start that, I got to ask you, what exactly is in a mixed bag of goodness?
Well, I would begin with some Skittles. Not the original, but the wild berry.
Ooh.
I sometimes enjoy the sour. So if you were to throw the sour and the mixed berry Skittles into one bag, I think that'd be goodness.
Interesting. For some reason, I was going more chocolates. You know the mixed bag of Halloween chocolates? Got the mini candy bars in each one?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a nice one.
Oh, boy. I could enjoy that mixed bag goodness, I'll tell you that much.
Also, random side note, Skittles does do mixed bags where they tell you they don't know the flavor. It's all the flavors mixed into one now.
That's a real thing?
I saw it. I bought it. I loved it and ate it.
I got to give a shout out to my boy Andy Bricks, who sells Skittles for a living. Good work, Andy Bricks. You're doing a great job out there.
Wow.
Yeah, he works for Wrigley's, who owns Skittles. I never knew that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, you're welcome. See, we don't just bring you fantasy baseball knowledge. We also bring you business. Business knowledge. Who owns who?
Stocks advice. Go buy Skittles.
Aquafina is a Pepsi company. I said that as well. Wow.
Where are we?
I don't know. So I want to tell you about my 4th of July. It was really nice.
Nope.
I went down to the cave.
Nope, let's turn the wheel.
And then I went to the beach. I burned my leg. I am feeling very hot right now.
Left turn into the tracking segment.
All right, Chris. So let's talk about who you had for your tracking, okay?
Does that feel better? No, it's going to be terrible.
Because we're going to go with Yonder Alonso.
Mm.
3 for 20. I like to call that blah.
A whole lot of blah.
Another man who you're a big fan of, Michael Taylor. 4 for 20. He did get a home run, which is edible. 2 RBIs. So you're batting subpar. Erasmo Ramirez, 11 innings pitched, a win, quality start, had 10 Ks in 11 innings, 1.54 earned run average, 0.77 whip. I'm doable with that. That was good. Good choice. Jimmy Nelson, another guy that I'm a big fan of, 10.2 innings pitched, 2 wins, 8 K. Not a good earned run average, but that's not what Jimmy Nelson's known for. And not a good whip either. So if you were to look at all four of those guys and say, what did you do? You got to give some credit to Erasmo. Jimmy got 2 wins. You know how much of a fan of wins
that's
I
true.
Am.
That's true.
I think I'm going to throw down maybe a B. A B.
Oh, all right. That's not bad. See, the wins did it for you, right?
Yeah, the wins. I mean, I should have given you like a C+, but the 2 wins plus the 3rd win.
I'm figuring this game out.
Yeah.
That's you how you win in life.
You know how to get to my heart.
You don't need to be the best at student. You need to be the best at making your teacher happy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's check out how you did, Benny Korn, okay. And track Ben this week. You had Chris Young. That was a flop,
yeah,
2
not
for
my
20
best.
With a double. He's a streaky player, though, so he that's not surprising.
Wasn't his best streak.
Randall Grichuk, not streaky because I don't really know him. He also did terrible. 3 for 21. He got you a home run and a double, though.
He's usually more well-rounded than
a little
that.
Bit of power. Eduardo Nunez, who I think is an infielder for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. For the Twins.
The Twins. He actually did all right. 308. Not much else, though. A double, stolen base, run. But at least he had some
knocks.
And
I do want to say that he did get a home run in there. It was 8 days ago, not 7 days ago.
Oh,
so,
tricky.
You know, I know it doesn't count, but I just want to throw that out there.
Tricky. Well, this game is not great with rules, Ben. So yep. I'm not sure what happened. Where you excelled was Mike Montgomery last week. Had a complete game shutout. His 2nd in a row,
yep.
if I'm remembering correctly. 7 strikeouts. And then this team isn't even in the game, but he had a 2nd great start yesterday.
Yep, 1 run.
So, man, I do love that. Did he get the win?
He did get the win both times.
He did get the win. Wow. All right.
So that's like 2 wins.
Yeah, I got to go. You at least had a guy that you had a couple home runs. Yeah, we can give you a B+ on that one.
Is that a that beats your B?
It does. I had terrible batting. I can't argue that.
Hey, yeah, this is becoming a common theme. So I think the people at home need to kind of realize that when I recommend people, they should let that shit happen.
Sometimes he's got to let that shit happen.
He's got to let that shit happen, bro. So.
Well, all right, winner.
Let's move on.
First.
Oh, wow.
Who you got for next week?
It's going to throw off everything, but let me get the sounder going. All right, so for next week, looking at Cesar Hernandez. Kind of an underrated guy, leadoff batter for the Phillies. Nobody likes Phillies players. But 5 steals last week and batted .400. He did quite well for me in the DFS. Very cheap in daily fantasy if you're looking for a daily fantasy player. He's hot right now, so pick him up. CJ Krohn, we talked about this guy prior to the season. I thought it was going to be the year of the CJ Krohn. It did not become the year of the CJ Krohn, but now it has become a possibility. He has 2 home runs in his last week. He's playing at Coors Field this week. So I think CJ Krohn is someone to watch. And my third guy, Nick Ahmed.
Oh, boy. He's back.
You didn't think that he would ever make it. I didn't think he'd ever make it into the Tracking Ben segment, no matter how much I wanted Nick Ahmed to be part of this. But he's hit safely in 8 of his last 11 games. He had 2 home runs last week. He's probably going to be batting leadoff this coming week. Now, granted, last week he played at Coors Field. That helped. Mm. But Nick Ahmed has made my Tracking Ben, and I'm proud of it. Getting a little expensive on the daily, so I don't know if you want to play Nick Ahmed in the daily, but somebody to watch.
I hear you. Those 3 hitters are very hot right now.
Not great players, but hot. And for my pitcher, I think it should be noted that I'm going with Yordano Ventura, who at this point...
Whoa, all right.
And you can say that I'm playing an ace as my Tracking Ben.
Yeah, you can say that. I wouldn't say that.
But he's only 59% owned at this point, so people are dropping him like he's the plague. And I am still jumping on the Yordano Ventura bandwagon. He's coming off the DL this week. He's slated to start Thursday against Tampa Bay.
Nice matchup.
I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm going with Yordano.
Okay. Hey.
And that's this week's Tracking Ben.
Interesting move. Yordano's been pretty bad this year, but the Royals really need a pitcher really badly. So,
all right, Chris, what do you got?
We are tracking Chris Walter's fantasy baseball picks, not his sleeping habits.
I got a couple other guys, and you know what? I went with hot players as well.
Oh, hot!
First one was the deep dive, Miguel Sano, the top power-hitting prospect for the Twins who just got called up. He already has a four-game hit streak, and I expect it to continue. His plate discipline looks very good, and I like what I'm seeing from Miguel Sano, so pick him up if you can and ride him this week at least. Next guy, Neil Walker. You know, I kind of figured this out actually during our news segment when we said that both Starling Marte and, well, Marte is injured and Josh Harrison hit the DL. That kind of means Neil Walker will get some premium at-bats at the top of that order. So I like Neil, and he's hot right now, so I like Neil Walker this week. Last guy, another second baseman. I guess I got your middle infield help here. Scooter Gennett has been on fire since being recalled from the minors. He is not too big in the power department, but can really crank doubles, and he's a second base eligible guy for the Brewers, so I like Scooter Gennett. Last guy, the pitcher that's going to get Ben's favorite stat in the world, some wins.
Oh, yeah?
Kevin Gausman for the Orioles.
Okay. Tell you what, I'm impressed. That's a good group.
You got a good group too, man.
Neil Walker was the fourth best player last week.
Oh, wow.
Just in overall, so he's starting to come on. And Gausman, I tried to pick him as my tracking Chris, but you'd already had him. I mean, of course, I was going to call it a tracking Ben if I picked him.
I'm on it.
Do you want to give people two-star pitchers before we get out of here?
Yeah, we can. It's nothing very special this week. Actually, even for guys that are owned, there are not very many good two-star pitchers. So remember that in your strategy this week. The only guys I thought were Chris Heston, who is facing the Mets tonight, actually, and Philadelphia. Those are great matchups. Also, did we mention that Iwakuma is coming off the DL?
I don't think he actually made the show.
Yeah, sorry, we didn't make that in the news, but Hisashi Iwakuma of the Seattle Mariners is coming off the DL. He's been a very talented pitcher in the past. He is at Detroit and versus the Angels. I don't like the matchups, but I like the pitcher.
Just to give people an update on who's been hot the last 2 weeks, and at the top of the list is Cesar Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
He's the hottest player in 2 weeks. 13 runs scored in 2 weeks. 8 stolen bases. He's batting .455. Cesar's kind of killing it. Jose Altuve is right there. A lot of lesser-known players. Adam Lind is actually the fifth most
Most Adam Lind against righties. He crushes righties.
Gerardo Parra continues to crush it. He was the 10th. Best performer with 3 home runs, 12 runs scored, almost batting .400. Carlos Correa. Listen to this line for Carlos Correa. 10 runs scored in the last 2 weeks, 5 doubles, 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, and a stolen base. And he's batting .321.
He might be the best shortstop in the league right now. As a 20-year-old right now.
It's kind of ridiculous. Alejandro Deaza of the Red Sox.
You mean Alejandro Deja?
Dejaza. He's got 13 RBIs in the last 2 weeks. Mikhail Franco continues to crush it. 3 home runs, 15 RBIs. I mean, these guys are all like 50% owned. Eric Ibar, 10 runs scored, 2 stolen bases, batting .475. A lot of guys out there that aren't necessarily picked up in all leagues that are hot, and you could probably make a move and pick them up. Who's leading in RBIs over the last 2 weeks? Adam Lind.
There you go.
17. Who's
the
leading?
Brewers in general have been very hot.
And Jose Altuve leads the league in runs last 2 weeks with 14. And Nolan Arenado and J.D. Martinez lead the league in home runs over the last 2 weeks with 7.
That's who we should talk about, J.D. Martinez. I mean, we don't have much time left here. 13 home runs in the last 19 games.
Damn.
10 home runs in the last 12 games.
Okay.
He's scorching red hot right now.
All right, pick up J.D. Martinez in your daily leagues is what Chris is saying.
Yes, although he's really expensive now, so it's tough.
So I feel good about this.
Yeah, we got a lot of good names. I hope it helped. I hope that we didn't bore you to death.
I thought it was rather hilarious. I'm glad Eric made an appearance. I'm glad Robert made an appearance.
You know, we'll have to check on Robert, make sure he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's a crazy dude. You know, I'm glad he made it to the show this week because I thought he was going to die.
I'm worried he's not making great health choices.
Yeah. Now, he eats a lot of, what are those things?
Corned beef?
Corned beef and hash.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that'll take you down.
That clogs the heart.
Thank you, Chris Walter. And thank you, friends, for shipping up to Boston.
And Dorchester. Ah!